I guess if this thing comes up short, he can field it and run it out. All right, here we go. 56-yarder. It's got, no, does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it to the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight. Holy cow. Oh, my God. Auburn wins. Auburn has won the Iron Bowl. Auburn has won the Iron Bowl in the most unbelievable fashion you will ever see. I cannot believe it. 34-28. And we thought a miracle in Jordan-Hare was amazing. Oh, my Lord in heaven. Chris Davis just read it. 109 yards. And Auburn is going to the championship game.
From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Oh my gosh! Are you kidding me? I'm sure many of you out there heard that incredible call, incredible game. In my 23 years being on this earth, I've never seen a college football game and ending as good as that one. I still get goosebumps hearing that and thinking about the call. Auburn pulling off one of the greatest endings. Again, one of the greatest endings you will ever see in sports. It has the entire sports world buzzing all weekend, and it still does. That's unbelievable stuff. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. My goodness. Good afternoon. I trust that you all had one great Thanksgiving holiday. I can't believe it flew by like that. I certainly had about two or three or five plates over the weekend. I lost count after the second one. Gained about 5 pounds. I don't know. Boy, it was a great time with family and friends. I hope you all cherished the time with your loved ones as well. What a weekend in sports, though. If you are a Michigan State fan, you gotta love what's going on in Sparty Land. I mean, you have the number one basketball team in the nation. You got the MSU soccer team. They moved on to the Elite Eight over the weekend. Of course, you got the Michigan State basketball team. They're number one in the nation. The MSU football team, again, they're playing for the Big Ten Championship on Saturday. Unbelievable stuff. It's so much going on. I didn't even say welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I mean, my goodness, it's so much, folks. Welcome to the show. We're going to talk about all of it, or try to, in this next hour. We're going to try to cover it all, and we're going to encourage you all to call in and comment on any of the weekend action that took place. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. We want to hear your thoughts on it all. Of course, that incredible Auburn and Alabama game, that was the highlight of the weekend for me. Unbelievable stuff. I mean, I'm sitting there watching it with my mom. My mom even went crazy. She doesn't even understand football. She was going nuts. I believe on YouTube, if you YouTube just fan reactions, Alabama, Auburn, tons of videos will pop up from people who are watching that game, and you get to see them go crazy, bonkers, just go nuts after that incredible run back. And one guy even jumped into his pool after watching it in his backyard. Hilarious stuff. Google that. I mean, it was an unbelievable ending. Also remind you all that Current Sports TV is coming right back at you this week as we embark on the start of high school basketball. That's right. High school basketball is right around the corner, folks. I will sit down with one of the best high school basketball coaches in this area, Steve Fenimore. He is the head coach of head boys basketball coach over at East Lansing High School. Yes, the Trojans. Steve, such a great guy and friend of the show. If you want to be a part of that audience, just go to WKAR.org and sign up for free. We tape this Wednesday night at 6 p.m. at WKAR Studios on the campus of Michigan State. Well, let's dive right into the show. Here are your current sports headliners on this December 2nd, 2013. Let's go back in time. Thanksgiving Day, Lions and Packers, Stafford. Matthew Stafford, he threw three touchdown passes, including one to Megatron, Calvin Johnson. Reggie Bush had 182 yards of offense and scored. The Detroit scored 37 straight points, 37 straight, to rout Green Bay 40-10 on Thursday. The Lions, they had lost their last two games, five consecutive against Green Bay, and a franchise record nine straight on Thanksgiving. They snapped that. Stafford said afterwards, quote, "It's a step in the right direction for us. I'm sure the turkey will taste better." I'm sure it did, Matt. The Packers, they have a five-game winless streak for the first time since 2008. Matt Flynn became the fourth starting QB for Green Bay this year and was sacked seven times. Oh. Once by Ndamukong Suh for safety. It was just a bad outing for Matt Flynn. Flynn didn't fare as well as he did in his last start for Green Bay against the Lions, where he really had a pretty good game the last time he did. Now, he was 10 of 24, 139 yards with an interception and two fumbles. In the last game of the 2011 regular season, while Rodgers rested for the playoffs, Flynn threw for 480 yards and six touchdowns in a 45-41 win over Detroit, if you remember that. Now, Detroit was pretty balanced on offense. Again, Calvin Johnson, six receptions for 101 yards and a 20-yard TD to put the Lions up 24-10 early in the third quarter. He has 4,944 yards receiving in two-plus seasons, breaking Jerry Rice's NFL record. Yes, the GOAT, Jerry Rice, his record for receiving yards in a three-year stretch. Unbelievable stuff. Rice actually had 4,850 yards from 1993 to 1995. Matthew Stafford, 22 of 35, 330 yards, and two interceptions and a fumble. He's got to take care of that ball as the season moves on. Detroit, they now get ready for the Eagles this Sunday. Pretty interesting story here. Mike Tomlin, who also played in the Steelers, they played on Thanksgiving as well. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin's near interference with Ravens, Baltimore Ravens kick returner Jacoby Jones on Thursday night is the subject of a, quote, aggressive review. It's under an aggressive review, folks, according to a league source, and is likely to result in a stiff financial penalty for the coach and the team, and perhaps the forfeiture of a draft pick. So it's being rumored right now that he could face a six-figure fine, folks. Tomlin, as head coach and as someone who has recently appointed to the NFL's powerful competition committee, he eerie'd in being that close to the field of the play no matter what. And while the NFL can't legislate his intent, the league's past handling of these issues speaks to the seriousness of which it takes the matter. If you saw that game, Tomlin was actually caught by cameras watching the play on the Jumbotron while Jones returned, and Tomlin was actually on the field. He said he was watching the play on the Jumbotron and didn't notice that he was on the field until the play came right at him. He got out of the way, but really kind of, you know, threw Jones off. And, you know, Jones was not happy about it. The Ravens were not happy about it because who knows what would have happened if Tomlin wasn't on the field. So, stiff penalty could be headed for Mike Tomlin. All right, Pistons and 76ers, Andre Drummond, my goodness, 31 points, 19 rebounds, and six steals. Those are all career highs for him. The Pistons, they split a four-game homestand, 115-100 victory over the Philadelphia 76ers last night. Drummond just missed the first 30-20 game by a Piston since Dennis Rodman. Man, Dennis Rodman, folks, who had 34 points and 23 rebounds on January 2nd when I was 1 year old in 1991, okay? That was against the Denver Nuggets. Now, Drummond's previous career high scoring game was 29. His career high rebounding game was 18, achieved not once but twice. Drummond was able to stay on the floor through several failed free throw excursions after third quarter intentional fouls because the Pistons put together their highest scoring quarter half and game of the season. Drummond and Jennings, they had Brandon Jennings, that is, had double-doubles by halftime. Jennings finished with 20 points and 12 assists. Also want to note that Drummond was sent to the line 5 times intentionally in the second half. He made 7 of 18 overall, but a 4 of 5 finish deterred the Hack of Drummond strategy. The Hack of Drummond strategy did not work in this case. Chauncey Billups, he was able to do some running and light basketball work in Saturday's practice and may be closer to returning. He missed his 10th consecutive game on Sunday. The Pistons were 6 of 6 on three-pointers in the first quarter. We've talked about the Pistons' just terrible outings when it comes to their shooting behind the arc this season, so that's encouraging. And Jonas Jerebko played a season-high 12 minutes and was a part of the rotation early. He had 5 points and 5 rebounds. Red Wings and Senators, Detroit, they beat the host Senators on 4-2 on Sunday night. Daniel Alfredson scored an empty net goal and added an assist in his return to Ottawa. Alfredson, the former longtime captain of the Senators, wasn't primarily responsible for Ottawa's second straight loss and fourth consecutive at home, but he helped contribute to the continuation of his ex-teammates' woes. Drew Miller, he scored twice. Johan Franzen, he added a goal. And Jonas Gustavsson, he made 29 saves for Detroit. The Red Wings, who won their fourth straight, haven't lost since the Senators beat them on November 23rd. MSU in Minnesota, it's got Sparty Land just in smiles everywhere you look. With their Legends Division title already wrapped up, the Michigan State Spartans improved their BCS standing with a ho-hum, just 14-3 win over Minnesota. Really not an exciting game, but MSU got the job done, folks. Jeremy Langford, he broke the 100-yard barrier for the 7th consecutive week, and Michigan State's dominating defense held their 5th Big Ten opponent without a touchdown. The Spartans set to face Ohio State and Indy this weekend, completed their first 8-0 Big Ten campaign in school history, and won all league games by double digits. Still, they aren't resting on their laurels. He said, quote, this is from head coach Mark D'Antonio. He had to say, quote, that's the number one goal, to be outright Big Ten champion, and the way the format is structured now would be something that would be very important to this program. Obviously, to get to the Rose Bowl is something that we've aspired to since the day we set foot on this campus. You'll hear more from Mark in just a moment. The win propels them to number 10 in the BCS standings and paired with Wisconsin's loss. Now, makes it more and more likely that even a loss to OSU, even a loss, folks, could give the Spartans a slot in a BCS bowl game, possibly smelling roses. So we'll see how things pan out. We'll also be diving into that game. If you want to comment, give us a call, 517-355-9527. Michigan and OSU. Interesting game. It was a great slate of football, college football, on Saturday, folks. Michigan and OSU, a great game. It really lived up to the hype, folks. In September, it was, dubbed as the first of two possible meetings. Michigan and Ohio State had lost some of its luster after Michigan's recent stumbles, but there's a reason they say to throw records out in rivalry games, and this was the perfect example, folks. The Wolverines saw their offense wake up and match Ohio State touchdown for touchdown in the first half. It was actually 21-all, a tie at the break. Braxton Miller ran and threw for a third-quarter touchdown. And the Wolverines, they responded once again, tying the game up at 35 with 5 minutes left. The Buckeyes struck back, scoring with just under 2.5 minutes left. Now, that's when Devin Gardner, who's 451 yards and 4 TDs, couldn't have come at a better time, hit Devin Funchess to bring things 42-41 with 30 seconds remaining. Brady Hoke, he signaled for 2. And he actually asked the team if they wanted to go for it. It was a unanimous decision. They wanted to go for it, and they went for the win. But Gardner's pass was picked off by Tyvis Powell, and the unbeaten Buckeyes survived. Now, Gardner's heroics were matched by the OSU backfield, which saw Braxton Miller run for 153 yards and 3 touchdowns, and Carlos Hyde's 226 yards and another score. OSU coach Urban Meyer said the Buckeyes will not suspend Wilson in Hall of Fame and Hall for the brawl that happened. The emotion. If you watch that game, the emotion of the bitter rivalry spilled over in the second quarter when a fight broke out after an OSU kick return. OSU's Dontre Wilson and Marcus Hall were ejected, along with Michigan's Royce Jenkins-Stone. The 42-41 final was the day's most exciting game. That is until what we played at you at the top of the hour, Alabama and Auburn, the Iron Bowl. Auburn and Alabama's annual tumble stole the spotlight, and with good reason. Auburn, they scored two touchdowns in the last 32 seconds to shock number one Alabama 34-28. After surrendering the tying touchdown, Alabama worked itself down the field and had 1 second remaining after video reviewed showed that T.J. Yeldon, he stepped out of bounds just in time to set up the 57-yard field goal attempt, but the kick was short. And Auburn's Chris Davis returned it 109 yards for the winning score. He was barely touched by any Alabama player on his way down the sideline to seal the crazy win. Auburn ran for 296 yards, 200 more than Alabama's defense surrender on average. It's the second time in the last two games Auburn has won in shocking fashion. After November 16th's miracle tip and catch on a Hail Mary, of course, you remember that game against Georgia, the Tigers finished the season 11-1 and will play Missouri in the SEC title game. Unbelievable game there. New BCS rankings, folks. New BCS rankings were released on Sunday, and the top two spots went to number one Florida State and number two Ohio State. Now, the ranking of Ohio State at number two puts them in the national championship game if they win the Big Ten championship game against the Spartans, which most likely guarantees the Rose Bowl for MSU with a win or loss, as long as the Spartans remain in the top 14 rankings of the BCS. Now, number seven Stanford will travel to number 11 Arizona State for the Pac-12 championship game on Saturday night for a chance to play in the Rose Bowl, likely against Michigan State. Auburn moved up to number three, winning the Iron Bowl, of course, as we just talked about that. Alabama dropped to four, and Mizzou is number five. The Seminoles and Buckeyes are the only two remaining undefeated teams from the automatic qualifying conferences. MSU women's basketball. MSU's defense struggled on Sunday in an 81-76 loss to Indiana Purdue Fort Wayne. It was the first non-conference home loss for the Spartans since falling to nationally ranked Miami in the Big Ten ACC Challenge on December of 2011. MSU hadn't lost to an unranked team at home since falling to Hofstra on November of 2006. Ariel Power, she was unbelievable. Had her second double-double of the season with a career-high 28 points and 14 rebounds to lead MSU. Annalise Pickrell had 15, and freshman Tori Jankowska scored 13 for the Spartans. MSU soccer to close things out here. MSU soccer, man, like I said, if you're a Spartan out there, you got to be going nuts right now. Michigan State is headed to the NCAA Men's Soccer Tournament Elite Eight for the first time since 1968. The number 11 seeded Spartans upset 6-seeded Georgetown Hoyas for a shutout, 1-0 in the third round of the tournament on Sunday. Now, Adam Montague scored the lone goal, and goalkeeper Zach Bennett earned his team's record-tying 13th shutout of the season. Zach Bennett, ZB, he'll actually be on the show tomorrow. This is from Coach Damon Rensing. He says, quote, "It's a huge win for the program. We've tried to create a culture here and continue to get better, and this win is a culmination of a lot of those things all put into one place today. And to me, that's why it's so special." MSU will now face number three seeded Notre Dame. They are a very, very good team in the Elite Eight, 7 p.m. Saturday in South Bend, Indiana. It's the Spartans' first trip to the NCAA quarterfinals in 45 years when they earned a share of the NCAA title. Well, those are your current sports headliners. Again, if you want to comment on any of those, give us a call at 517-355-9527. And you know what? I want you all to call in because there was so much weekend action. Of course, MSU football is looking great. The soccer team, again, they're in the Elite Eight. I mean, I could go on. The MSU men's basketball team, of course, they have North Carolina this week, on Wednesday night, a nationally televised game. They're the number one basketball team in the nation. There's certainly a buzz in the air here in East Lansing, Michigan, and we want to hear your thoughts on it. 517-355-9527. Sticking to MSU football right now, of course, the Spartans will be taking on Ohio State University this Saturday in Indy at Lucas Oil Stadium. And you know what? Current Sports is going to be there, folks. That's right. We're making a trip to Indy, and we'll be covering that and giving you coverage of that game. You can catch it on next week's Current Sports TV as well as on WKAR.org. It should be a fun time. But I tell you what, they got the win over Minnesota. 14-3, just handling the business right now as they get ready for this Big Ten championship game. Here's head coach Mark D'Antonio on the state of his team.
Very proud of our football team. You know, 40 wins in 4 years, 11 wins this year. You know, you're going to have some games you got to reach back and scratch and dig for things, and we were able to do that today. So very, very proud of our guys, our senior leadership. I've said all along we win because of chemistry, and I believe that. I believe that totally. 7-0 at home, the third time in 4 years. 8-0 in the conference, I guess, is the first time that's ever been done. 11-1, you know, third time we've won 11 games in 3 years. Not too many football programs in the country can say those things. So just congratulate our football team and what they've been able to accomplish. A lot of our fans were outstanding today. And, you know, we got 50,000 people that aren't here. So great job by our fans showing up today. And it was loud down there. It was enthusiastic. Last time in the locker room, because the new locker room will be done by June, I guess. So, you know, it was very important that we represent this program and all those who came in front of us planning to, you know, be in that locker room for the last time. And I think that was important. That's something we had talked about. So opportunity to win 11 puts us in the, maybe gets us in the top 10. Congratulate Minnesota, tough game. They're a much improved football team. What Coach Kill has been able to accomplish in 3 years is really outstanding. So we set goals. Everybody sets goals for themselves, and that's a goal that we've not yet accomplished. So that's the number one goal, to be outright Big Ten champion. And the way the format is structured now would be something that would be very important to this program. Obviously, to get to the Rose Bowl, something that we've aspired to since the day we set foot on this campus back in 1995. When we came back in 2007, the same thing was talked about on the day that I got the job. So obviously, it's always been in the background, pushing us forward, you know, propelling us and giving us enthusiasm for what we do, I guess. And there's a lot of football teams around that, you know, are 7-0, 8-0, and they're ranked number 4 or 5 in the nation. And then they fall out. We've had to climb our way up. We've done it the hard way. And, you know, I think based on who's playing who, let them, that, you know, some things you can shake out, and some things you have no control over. All I can tell you is we played the game to win. At the end of the game, we played to win, and I'm not there to try and run up the score on anybody. We've won 11 games to 4, and it feels good. I don't think there's any question. It feels very good to feel like you attained a goal. But at the same time, yeah, you're right. Nobody's giving anybody a Gatorade shower, so we have one more to go. That's what we want to do. You know, that's our goals. That's how we set out to do those things early in the season. And we've accomplished running through the Big Ten conference, the schedule that we've had, and played well enough to win. Played away from home, played at home. So on to the next one. They all count one out there, it's on to the next one. But we put ourselves in a position that who knows what can happen. Who knows what can happen at 12-1? Why not us? Why not us? Got to win 12 first to be able to do those things. But you need to dream big, and that's what we're doing.
Well, Mark D'Antonio, historically, folks, has never been shy at letting it be known that their ultimate goal is to play in the Rose Bowl. And, you know, while other coaches may shy away from letting their goals known to the media, Mark D'Antonio is not that guy. And they now, you know, win or lose, it's looking like, you know, things are going to win or lose, folks. This weekend in Indy, it's looking like this team could be headed to Pasadena to play in that Rose Bowl. Knock on wood, though. Knock on wood. All right, here's Connor Cook also after that game.
It's a great feeling. You know, first and foremost, I'm just happy for the seniors. You know, they've worked so hard. They've put in so much work, you know, for our program, for their underclassmen teammates, stuff like that, and they've made so many sacrifices. So I'm just happy that you know, the work that I put in help contribute, you know, for a season to put them on top for our seniors. Everyone talks about the defense, no one really talks about the offense. Yeah. You know, it's kind of been the whole thing all year, but, you know, I think our offense has continued to grow throughout the season. You know, wouldn't really say we took a step forward or took a step back today because we won. You know, if you lose, you probably take a step back. But, you know, we're on to Ohio State. We're going to focus on them. And, guys, you know, we have a great group of guys that prepare, that get in the film room and know the game plan going into a game. And I think the coaches will provide us a really good game plan.
So, yes, that's QB Connor Cook, starting quarterback for the Michigan State football team. Now, they get ready. 14-3 win over Minnesota this past Saturday. They now get ready for the Big Ten Championship game against Ohio State in Indy. This Saturday, Lucas Oil Stadium We all cannot wait for it. Again, Current Sports will be down there giving you guys coverage. You can catch it on WKAR.org as well as next week's episode of Current Sports TV. Well, let's take a break. While we're taking a break, I want you to call in and give your thoughts on any of the weekend action that happened. Of course, the MSU soccer team in the Elite Eight. You got MSU football. You got Michigan State's basketball team taking on North Carolina on Wednesday. I mean, so much going on. Of course, call in and tell us, you know, where and where you were and your reaction to that incredible Alabama and Auburn football game. We'll talk Michigan as well as they lose to Ohio State. Don't go anywhere, folks. 517-355-9527. Give us a call. Current Sports will be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Wow, it's Monday already. I tell you, that Thanksgiving weekend certainly flew by. I hope that you all had a great time with your family and friends this past weekend. You know, some sad news. I'm sitting here with Alex and Matt now, and, you know, some sad news over the weekend that really puts just life in perspective. I want to bring it up on here. You know, Paul Walker passing away. Sadly, I believe he was 40 years old. When I heard that news, I thought people were joking. I thought it was a rumor at first. And, you know, it just, you know, and you know, looking at the holiday weekend, Thanksgiving and everything, being with your family, this puts in perspective how you got to cherish moments with your family, because you never know. You could be here today and gone tomorrow. You know what I mean? That's just crazy stuff. Paul Walker, rest in peace, man. All right, well, let's shift gears now to MSU football. Of course, they will be competing for the Big Ten Championship. Big Ten Championship, folks, in Indianapolis. Current Sports, again, we will be there in Indy this Saturday as they take on Ohio State. Boy, I tell you what, it's a lot of excitement here in East Lansing because you got the football team who's off the charts right now, the soccer team and the Elite Eight. You know, but focusing on this football team, you know, looking at that Minnesota game, 14-3, nothing really stood out to me in that game. I've just felt as though MSU, they handled business. They did what they were supposed to do. Jeremy Langford looked great. You know, what really surprised me, though, was the time of possession. If anything really stood out to me, Minnesota actually beat MSU when it came to time of possession, but they still lose 14-3. So that's just a case of being efficient with the football there.
And it also shows how good the defense really is. How good that defense is. If you have more possession than the Michigan State offense, but you only put up 3 points, then what? That's a point every, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
1 point?
That's being ridiculous. That's efficiency, you know, whenever you have the football. I believe we have a caller already. I believe Jack on line one. How you doing, Jack? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
I give you my 2 cents with a little bit of insight on that Alabama-Auburn game. I got a dear friend of mine who was a business associate of mine up here some years back, and long story short, he moved to Alabama and married an Alabama girl, and he's been 100% Alabamian ever since.
right. So well, you got to when your girl's from Alabama, right?
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you what, I had the pleasure, I guess I'll call it that, of once upon a time some years back, sitting in at a house party down there in Alabama of a game between Auburn and Alabama, and I thought I had seen rivalry before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you what, and I'm telling you, the women were probably more aggressive than the men.
Wow. Dig that, man. I tell you, the rivalry is real. The rivalry is real, Jack.
It's something.
Jack, do you think this rivalry is taken more seriously than Michigan and Ohio State?
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, it just runs so deep in the families that I've observed and seen. And I mean, literally, there are people that are brothers and sisters and such, and they barely give each other the time of day during the year, and during the week of, they simply won't speak to one another in the same room.
It's so enriched in the SEC, isn't it?
Yeah, it's real. And my friend told me, he said, you're not going to believe it. And I, I said, oh, I've seen rivalry. I mean, I've seen the Michigan-Michigan State. I've got friends of mine from Michigan, and I've been down there at a party with some Ohio State people and yada, yada. Man, that can't even hold a candle to what I saw. So.
Jack, where were you when you saw that incredible return, and what were your thoughts on it?
Well, I was on – here's the irony. That's why I brought that up. I was on the phone. I was texting back and forth to my buddy in Alabama during the game, and I was just rereading that, looking at it while I was talking with a friend of mine who's also from Alabama at a business up here. And anyway, at one point I remember one of his texts, I said something to him, some comment, and he could text back. He said, boy, he said, we got our hands full. And so we bantered back and forth a little bit until, you know, when that, after that play happened, I thought he'd come apart, but he just sent back a text. He said, well, he said, the better team won today. And I didn't see that one coming either, but hard to believe. And I know Saban, I mean, I know his wife, Terry, a little bit. I don't think he'd call that play again. I don't think he'd call that field goal. I don't know.
I seldom
can fault him for making a strategic mistake, but I just think he did.
Gotcha. Hey, Jack, thanks a lot for your call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
One quick note.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I just left that business, and the gal from Alabama showed me a picture on her screen. Now, I don't know if this is circulating around the network or what. It's very clever, but so appropriate. It's a big picture of Nick Saban, and the verbiage on it reads, hey, Nick, got a second?
I like that. That's really clever. That is very I'm going to try to look that picture up after the show, Jack.
Yeah, check it out.
Good stuff. Hey, thanks a lot, Jack, for the call. Yeah, I tell you, when you look at that play, guys, there's no way you can plan for it. There's no way you can plan for that. I mean, that's one of you're not expecting Chris Davis to get the football and go the entire length of the field with a second left due to the missed field goal and win the game. That's just, you just throw up your hands and say, hey, you can't blame Nick Saban on that one.
I don't know, Al.
You cannot blame. Okay, go ahead.
You always have to be ready, regardless if it's expecting or not. It's still in play. You're always playing until the whistle blows. It's what they teach you in high school.
So you blame Nick Saban for that call?
I'm not going to blame Nick Saban, but they should have been prepared.
I don't see.
There wasn't even a call.
That's one of those moments in sports for me, guys, where you look at it and you say, the better man won. We weren't meant to win that game, period. The man goes the full length of the field, and the missed field goal stays in play, and he goes the full length of the field for a win. Come on, man. You can't plan. It's like a half-court shot in a basketball game.
So is it not a legitimate win?
Yeah, it's a win. But chalk it up, baby. That's sport. That's the essence of sports. You win on I mean, anything can happen. Anything can happen in the world of sports. I don't think it's anybody to blame. It's one of those things where you just throw up your hands and you say, hey, we're not meant to win. That's destiny. Anytime something like that happens, that's destiny, man.
Al, I blame everybody but the kicker on the field during that play. Everybody.
Why can't you blame the kicker? Why don't you blame the kicker?
The kicker's not expected to tackle anybody.
No one. I mean, no one's expecting. I mean, you're a college. You're a football team. You're supposed to be able to go out there at least. I mean, the odds are in your favor. Somebody's going to tackle this man. He's not going to go the full length of the field for a touchdown to win the game against Alabama. We're talking about Alabama
here. If they're standing and watching the field goal and they're sitting there patting each other on the back after the field goal, then maybe.
The dynamic of that play is that, you know, whenever you're kicking a field goal, you got most of those players out there, they're trained to block. You know what I mean? Most of those, and I was listening to it on the radio show this morning. They had a head coach of Auburn talking about that play. And most of the players, that's how football is supposed to be. When you're out there and you're kicking a field goal, your job is to protect the kicker. Most of those players out there are linemen. There may be a few players out there that have the speed and the quickness to run down somebody and make a tackle. But you expect them to do it because you're not expecting Chris Davis to go 109 yards, I believe it was, for a touchdown. That's one of those plays. It's like a half-court buzzer beater. Chalk it up. It's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do in that instance.
The speed I get, but he didn't have a breakaway.
Alex.
It wasn't a breakaway.
So are you blaming this with
most
loss
of these
somebody?
Offensive linemen, Al? Have been
so
defensive
Alex,
tackles
this
or
loss on somebody.
Have served on defense.
So you're going to blame this loss on somebody?
I'm blaming it on every single player besides the kicker.
Oh, come on, man. That's one of the moments. I don't know. But Grace, I would like to know where people were and their reaction to that moment. Because I tell you what, my mother lost her mind. And I'd never seen that side of my mom. Like, I was like, Mom, I'm explaining it to her. This is the only reason she knew what was going on, because I had to explain it to her. You know, if something happens, he could still run it back, because she asked that question, ironically, before the play happened, and it was just destiny. And she lost her mind. Like, I've never seen, Mama, if you're listening, you lost your mind during that moment. It was hilarious. But if you've seen the reaction videos, I mean, I want to know where people were and their reaction to that incredible. It was one of the greatest innings in sports. Some people are, I don't know if I go this far, I have to do some research here, but some people are calling it the greatest ending in sports history, equating it to the miracle on ice. I'm sitting there like, you gotta be kidding me. Really? I don't know. So yeah. All right. Back to MSU football though, guys, really quickly. This is their third 11-win season in 4 years. First 8-0 Big Ten record in school history. And you know what? This is the most decorated senior class in Spartan football history. Unbelievable for them. And I mean, if you look at this team, and you go, you guys like, you know, Darquez Denard and Max Bulla, Danikos Allen. I mean, these are guys that have become a staple for this MSU football team. You got to tip their hat. You know, what really opened the door for this MSU team to really start talking, like solidified Rose Bowl talk here, was Wisconsin lost to Penn State. Of course, the Badgers were the team most likely to, if any team, most likely to jump to Spartans for the Rose Bowl, if any team. And now, you know, with that loss, thanks to Penn State, you know, win or lose now, people are saying if they just stay in the top 14, baby, they're going to be smelling roses. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think the real question is the Big Ten championship now slated because they're a shoo-in for the Rose Bowl? That's what I think the real question is, regardless of the decorated class and if they're going to beat Ohio State, who has the longest active streak in FBS, I don't even think that the bowl is nearly worth the impact as it would have been if they did not, if Ohio State wasn't number two in the nation.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I think this game still means a lot, you know? I mean, you're talking about winning. This is a team, especially looking where this team was at the beginning of the season. This MSU football team didn't even know who his quarterback was at the beginning of the season. And to see, and you know, D'Antonio had a great comment on Saturday talking about how this team has really earned its way into national talk and Rose Bowl talk and earned the respect of many, because there were so many doubters, including myself, at the beginning of this season. And I'm sitting there looking at this football team like, there's no way in heck there's no way in heck they can play this way throughout the season and be successful. And, you know, as game by game went by, they got consistently better. And, you know, you look at them now, again, first 8-0 Big Ten record in MSU football history. That's something I got to give hats off to Mark D'Antonio. I mean, we were criticizing his coaching staff, the play calling, all of that mess. And now I think D'Antonio is sitting back looking at us saying, I told you so. You know?
Yes.
So. I don't know, man.
And he has every right to. And as far as the Big Ten championship game losing its luster because, you know, it looks like they're going to go to the Rose Bowl either way, I don't buy that for a second. This team wants to earn it. All they've talked about is earning it. They want to punch their ticket with a win. You don't want to back into a Rose Bowl. And even though, you know, that's kind of at the end of the tunnel potentially, if they get blown out by Ohio State, there's absolutely no guarantee that they stay in the top 14. If you're telling me that the national perception of the Big Ten won't push Michigan State out, you're crazy, because it absolutely will. I mean, Drew Sharp had Ohio State 8th in his poll and Michigan State 13th. If the local writer is saying things like that, what do you think people in SEC country are going to think of Michigan State? They're going to think they're trash and they shouldn't be in the top 14. I wouldn't be surprised if this team goes out, gives their best effort of the season, and fights tooth and nail to win the Big Ten, win that solo championship. Finally, it's eluded us for how many years where they're right there and either lose to Wisconsin, lose a tiebreaker. Some chips fall out of their favor and they miss out on a BCS trip. They're going to do everything they can to earn it on the field, and I would be shocked if they don't give their best effort.
So where you're coming from, Matt, is it's if they do lose, it's how they lose if they do.
Absolutely.
And that definitely has a – so you think if they get blown out –
if they get blown out of Ohio State, they're
which
out,
I don't think
they're
happen,
out of
yeah.
the top 14. I don't think it's going to happen either. But if they do, they're not going to back into a Rose Bowl getting beat by 30 points in the championship game.
If they go to Indy, and get just totally demolished by Ohio State, which I don't think will happen – they're definitely not going to make the Rose Bowl. They're not, I mean, maybe Orange Bowl. I don't know. But right now, for this MSU football team, you got the best defense in the nation going against the best offense in the Big Ten. This offense hasn't seen a defense like MSU's, and it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, you got to be – I think the defense will play great, but I see that's the thing. It's so hard because it's hard to look at a game where Ohio State has played a really, really tough defense like MSU's because MSU's defense is the best in the nation. I mean, it's tough. What are you guys' predictions on this game? What do you think is going to be close? Blowout? Matt just said it's not going to be a blowout. What about you, Alex?
Yeah, well, and it's funny that Matt brought this up about the national writers from the SEC. Spartan Sports Network this weekend, MSU's main radio broadcast, right? Broadcast rights, had the highest amount of listeners all year, and so many that they had problems streaming it over the web because there's so much traffic.
That's a good problem.
Now, why?
We have that problem all the time here.
Is it because maybe some of these SEC guys are wondering what the Drew Sharp ranked 13th ranked Spartans are really like, or is it because maybe the MSU has given a little bit of dominance, a little bit more of a staple, as you'd say, Al. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the defense, I don't think that they're not going to try it all. Of course, they're always going to try. I just wish that it wasn't the way it is. I wish that the game meant more, that maybe Ohio State wasn't a BCS possible national championship bid, and it was like a 4-8 or a 3-8 where goes the Rose Bowl? It's do or die.
Okay, you would like it more if, yeah. I mean, the winner of this goes to the Rose Bowl.
Right.
Right, because, I mean, now with Ohio State, with the win, they'll definitely probably be playing in that. Will be a big favorite to play in the national championship
And there's no doubt that they'll give their
all. But that opens the door now for MSU. That's a good thing because it opens the door now for MSU, win or loss, to possibly go to the Rose Bowl. So, Earl, we're going to get you there, buddy. So, all right, well, let's take a quick break and come right back. When we come back, we're definitely going to talk about Auburn and Alabama, the Lions and Packers as well. Give us a call if you want to express your thoughts on any of it, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere, folks. We still have plenty to talk about. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, we're asking you all to call in and comment on the incredible sporting action that took place this entire week. And you guys have a good Thanksgiving. I asked you guys that. You guys have a good Thanksgiving. Eat a lot of turkey.
Stuffed Thanksgiving. Too much, stuffed.
I had like 5 plates, man. It's terrible. I need to go work out ASAP.
I wonder what D'Antonio told his players. Do you think it's, you know,
That's a good question. I wonder what he tells his players. I know when I was in high school, I mean, my coach would tell us watch what he eat, but I would still pig out anyway. I mean, I was in high school. It's not like you're playing college basketball. But
We'll ask him tomorrow.
Yeah, chat with him tomorrow about it. So, all right, guys. Lions and Packers were also in action this past weekend. The Lions, woo! Put it on them. They put it on the Packs, man. 40-10, your final on Thanksgiving Day. The Lions are now 7-5. Really good game overall for this team as a collective whole. Stafford, you still got to take care of the ball, brother. There were some turnovers. He fumbled once, had some few interceptions here and there. Calvin Johnson, he had 6 receptions for 101 yards and a 20-yard TD to pull the Lions up 24-10 early in the third. 4,944 yards receiving in 2+ seasons, breaking Jerry Rice's NFL record for yards receiving in a 3-year stretch. How about that? Guys, what were your impressions of the Lions on Turkey Day?
Mostly just how I'm glad they bounced back, finally, because it took them long enough. And they started so slow with the fumbles and the interceptions by Stafford, and it just kind of seemed like the last 2 weeks are going to snowball into the next 3, and they were just going to have this downward spiral to end the year. And then they just show you how explosive they can be and roar back and score 37 points in 3 quarters. And it's just – it's part of the reason that they're so frustrating to watch, but at the same time why it's so fun to watch that team, because they can turn it on. And when they're going –
they're rolling when they're going.
They might be tougher to stop than just about anybody.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they can have really long droughts where they do absolutely nothing right, shoot themselves in the foot, you know, cost themselves points, penalties, turnovers, all of it. And then, you know, when things click, they click. And, you know, now they're in the same situation they were about 2 weeks ago when we thought, oh, man, the Lions might win out.
Right.
They've got the
number
division.
Three, baby.
They've got the division in their hands.
Yeah.
Well, here you go. They got another shot at it. Let's see if they actually capitalize this time and keep things rolling when they go play Philly, play Baltimore,
right.
play New York.
Right.
You know, we
right.
thought they were going to roll through Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay. That didn't work
happened.
Out so well.
That's the thing. It's the mentality. I just thought
how
they came
do they handle
those
success?
Games.
How right. do they handle success?
That's the biggest thing. If you're going to be a winner in any sport, whatever sport you're playing, you got to have the mentality to go out there and beat the brains out of whoever you're playing every single day. And that's the mentality. That's the mentality of a winner. And the Lions are still getting used to that, I think. And this is a chance to prove themselves again. You know, to say, hey, we're serious about this season. Let's get it on. And Alex, what are your thoughts on the Lions, man? When you're watching,
I was watching. Game? You know, it seems every year it's, well, go watch the Lions, they'll play hard, and most likely they'll lose. It's been the tradition of Detroit football for the last decade, it has. And coming up to this game, you don't have Aaron Rodgers. You have a team with probably the most offensive firepower, I would argue, in the last decade, too. And it's also a team that is in a much different place than it was back in the Millen era. So when I have friends coming out of that game saying go Lions and wow they actually you know I'm proud to be a Lions fan, it means a lot. I just think that the culture has overall changed with the Lions starting this year. You could argue you know when they went to the playoffs last year and 3 years ago when they started to come back. No, I think this is the year. This is the year they have the offensive weapons. They have the one of the most dominating defensive lines in all of football.
Yeah.
And. Do. Like Matt was saying, they overcame their differences for once.
Right.
So many times we've seen the team, they haven't been able to overcome anything.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? I thought that in that game, I have to say it. I mean, I thought that was their best defensive effort all season, if you ask me. I thought they had one heck of a job. That defensive line was great. Secondary played decent. They were decent on Thanksgiving, which surprised me.
It does help that they're playing Matt Flynn.
It does help.
Who
might
be the worst quarterback outside of Brandon Wheaton.
Don't forget about
football.
What he did to us last time. Though.
I know. And that should really illustrate how bad the Lions were 2 years ago.
Definitely. And, yeah,
awful.
I mean, you're playing Matt Flynn was not great at all. But, yeah, I thought it was their best – statistically, it was their best defensive effort all season. Granted, take it with a grain of salt. You're playing against Matt Flynn. This isn't A. Rodgers in the, you know, behind center. Definitely moving forward, though, they got to take care of the football, guys, because it seems as though, you know, Reggie Bush had a quote, you know, the next day in the paper saying that, you know, sometimes we just shoot ourselves in the own foot because we can't hang on to the ball. I mean, Reggie Bush, I mean, it's coming from, you know, the belly of the beast right there because he fumbles left and right. Stafford, of course, we've seen this trend of him having at least one or two interceptions per game these past few weeks. Got to take care of the ball. And that's really going to be a big harp on that I'm going to be looking at as the season progresses now as they try to close things out here. Magic number is now 3, I think. And I tell you what, David Akers, what are you doing, brother? He had a missed field goal on Thanksgiving. I'm sitting there like, oh, And actually, you know, doing some reading, they're actually bringing in kickers today, you know, to try him out. And I don't think Akers is going to lose his job. I think this is just a notion to say, David, you got to get your act together, brother. But, yes, the Lions today, right here on Monday, are bringing in kickers right now to try out.
Is Kickalicious on that list?
No, he wasn't. I knew you were going to ask that.
What?
I knew you were going to ask. Kickalicious was not on the list.
What's he going to have to do?
Yeah, I looked at the list.
Who was on the list?
I have the list upstairs. I got a call from a friend of mine who works internally with the Lions, and you know he gave me a call. Said Al, they're bringing in kickers Monday, and I'm like, are you serious? And he let me know that, and I was like, because I asked you, is Kickalicious back? He said no, Kickalicious is not back. But yeah, they're bringing in kickers. But as he told me that right now it's just kind of a wake up call for David to kind of get his act together.
So guys, would you be comfortable in a wild card or a first round playoff game? Down by 3, would you be comfortable with David Akers kicking with his veteran?
Right
leadership?
Now, I don't know, man. He's been iffy. He's missed 5 field goals this season. Five of them.
Why do you think he was let go last year? That's what I'm saying.
I don't know, man.
He's not very good anymore.
Yeah, he's you
know,
missing 5
kicks playing for the Lions who play indoors.
This ain't Jason Hansen when you get it's like wine when you get better with time.
It's not like it's windy out there.
Right, exactly. I mean, he's playing indoors. He's kicking indoors, exactly. So yeah, we'll see how that pans out. But they got a tough game against the Eagles. Are you guys a believer in Nick Foles right now?
I'm more of a believer in Chip Kelly.
Mm. Yeah,
and
Chip Kelly's been a great coach.
If you get a guy who can who can run that offense at least to, you know, 80% of its potential,
yeah,
you're going to be successful. And so far, Foles has done that.
He's I'm not solid. A believer yet.
He's solid.
I will be a believer if I got to see him firsthand in action an entire game against the Lions. If he has a great game this weekend, I'm a Nick Foles believer. I'm a believer. I will go on the record saying I'm a believer. Also want to note that Joe Nathan, possibly going to the Tigers. That's rumored right now. So we'll see how that pans out. Darren McCarty, he has a new book out. And Ithaca, high school football guys, Ithaca, again, four straight in a row. Unbelievable, 56 wins. Congrats to Terry Hisbrook and the Ithaca Yellow Jackets. They win four in a row. DeWitt, they fell to Zeeland West. This past weekend. So DeWitt, they
almost came back.
They just keep coming. Yeah, they almost came back. They almost came back, but they just keep falling short on the big stage, man. So, but Rob Zimmerman, he does a great job over there. So definitely wanted to take note of
that.
It's too
bad. I thought with Shankle and their quarterback, I thought this would be their year.
Yeah, I did too. I definitely did too. But Zeeland West is a good, they are a good, good team. Man.
I don't know well enough. I've never really seen them.
Really, really good team. So hats off to both of those teams, though, getting to the dance. Ithaca, again, unbelievable stuff. All right, guys. Well, it's Monday. I am scared to add to, do we have the updates today, man?
I do.
Oh, let me pray real quick. All
I think
right.
I'm better.
Okay. How we doing? How we looking, man?
Al, your prayers have been answered.
Well, get out of here. Are you serious?
Because you beat Alex.
Yeah, baby.
For second place.
Yes.
Alex, you're the low man.
Let me just warm up my vocal cords.
With just 36 points this month.
Wow. Wow.
Al, you finished with an even 40.
Okay.
And I was up there at the 50 mark.
Oh, my gosh. So man, I got to Matt 50. Just
Matt's winning.
Rolling, man. I need to bring you to Vegas, baby.
So that's another one.
Another one. Oh, okay. He's getting a little cocky with it. I would be too. If I mean, he's doing his thing, baby.
I'm just rolling along right now. I don't want to mess anything up. But, if we're looking forward,
yeah,
got a lot of good games this weekend.
We do.
I decided we should go with all of the championship games. So we're going to pick the Big Ten.
New month, though. New
SEC.
Month.
Oh, yeah. It's a new month.
Yep.
Pac-12 and ACC title games.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
Pick some Pistons games, and then we'll get the NFL picks later in the week.
How impressed with you guys are speaking of Pistons really quick. Drummond. Oh, my God. He was unbelievable, wasn't it?
He has a chance to be the premier center in the NBA in, I don't know, 2 years.
I think so, too. I would agree with that. I mean, 31
and 19.
And 19, six steals.
Three blocks.
That's unheard of. It's unheard of.
Disgusting.
Andre Drummond, I mean, definitely has a bright future. All right, what we got, Matt?
Okay, let's start out with the big one. Big Ten championship game, Indianapolis, Michigan State, Ohio State. Who you got?
Alex.
With score, right?
With score.
Tough. How about you start, Al? I always start. I always start.
Okay.
You're hosting. Come on.
All right.
Lead us off.
I'm going to go with, I was extending my hospitality. Anyway, all right, MSU. 24,
mm-hmm.
21.
Nice.
They squeak it out. They barely squeak it out.
Alex, who you got?
Okay. I'll say MSU 27 to 25.
25?
That's a weird.
How are they going to get that one?
Safety.
Watch, they'll do it, though. Okay, I'm going to take MSU as well. All three of us
taking MSU.
We believe.
Is that the? I think that's the green in this, man. I don't know. We've gotten
just
here.
So excited.
We're excited, and we may be speaking with our hearts more than our head here. I don't know. But still,
they
you can make
got,
a case both ways.
Every yeah, I think know? So too.
So, I don't know. I'm going with MSU though. I think they ride it.
I think MSU wins. It's going to be their first Big Ten win this year that's less than 10 points.
Yeah.
Sadly, they're going to break that streak. I think they're going to win 31-28. But quick question to you guys: do you see the Big Ten handing down a suspension for Dontre Wilson and Marcus Hall?
You know, going back to that fight, I'm glad you brought this up, Matt. Wilson was the kick returner on that play.
Yes.
And looking at that play, and we looked at it up at the press box, when it happened, I kind of feel Wilson on it. He got crowded, you know what I mean, after the play.
By like seven people.
By seven guys.
Yeah.
What do you expect the man to do? Just be like, oh, no, leave me alone. I got to go to the sidelines. No, get off me, man. I mean, he got huddled around like they were about to jump him or something like that. You know what I mean? Something like that happens. You got to protect yourself. You got to defend yourself. I'm pushing people. And then from there, which that's what he did, from there it escalated into a fiasco.
That's right. New protection laws in the NFL, Al. Got to have a concealed something, right? Yeah, you got to defend.
Honestly, what are the refs? What are the refs doing there? How do you let that get to that point?
Yeah, yeah.
The second that crowd kind of forms around
him, should have been a flag.
You're getting out there. You're breaking that up. Right. And instead, they kind of let it fester. Right. Guys start throwing punches.
It's so tough. I think it happens so quickly. You know what I mean? But still, it's just like come on, dude.
You have to be on that.
It's Ohio State, Michigan, too. It's like you expect that.
Yeah, you would think they went through every precaution, like they're about to go into war here. But you know, and no censorship on ESPN. You know, with the birds were flying. You know, as the suspensions were coming out, I love rivalries because of moments like that. I mean, it just shows that these two teams hate each other. It makes for great football. It makes for great sports. But that definitely got out of hand. I feel Wilson, man. I feel you. If you're listening, Wilson, I feel you. Because I'm not letting dudes just crowd over me. I'm not just gonna just lay down there and just say, okay, well, I can't do anything to these guys. No, get the heck off me, man. So I see why it escalated out of hand. But, yeah, going back to the refs, though, I mean, letting it get to that point in the first place.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Do you think they get suspended, though?
That was the first question we came to. You know what? Maybe for the birds. I'm thinking about the flipping the birds now.
For the bird, throwing a punch
in football. That is a suspension. That's big, man.
That's in the rule book. I mean, yeah. Will Golston.
Going by the book, you got to suspend him then. You got to.
Urban Meyer said he's not going to do it.
I think they will.
Yeah. What about the NCAA, though?
I'm interested to see if the Big Ten weakens their golden goose, their national championship contender. And we'll see if they let it slide or if they actually crack.
What do you
down
think they should do, guys?
I think they should. They violated
the book, suspend them. By the books, man. You got to go by the books. And at the end of the day, if it's in there, it's kind of like go back to the concussion rule. If you aim at the head, no matter how you do it, what your intentions are, going by the books, man, you're out of here.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, what else we get? Is that it?
Oh, no.
No, we got
SEC Championship, Auburn versus Missouri.
Love this game. Love this game.
Great, great game. You know what? Give me Auburn.
Auburn. Taking Auburn, too.
Going to Auburn, man.
All right, what's the miracle that they win with? Is it like a fake punt turns into a 90-yard touchdown run or something?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a great game.
The only way they know how to win games
lately.
Yeah,
I know, right? The Georgia game and now this win over the weekend. I don't know. I think it's – are we doing score here as well?
No, we'll just go winner.
I'm going Auburn, though.
I'm going to take Auburn as well, so that makes all three of us.
Okay.
Just too much momentum.
Momentum. You know, listen to the coaching interview on Mike and Mike today. They had a head coach of Auburn on the day. And just trying to get these kids' heads out the clouds. I mean, because they're on cloud nine right now.
And to get them to focus.
As they should be. I mean, it's one of the greatest innings in sports. To get their heads out of the clouds and focus now in the SEC championship game. Ooh, it's going to be a tall order.
Very.
So, but yeah.
Very interesting.
Auburn, though. We'll go to Auburn.
All right, let's go out west for the other half of the Rose Bowl here. Stanford at Arizona State.
ASU, man.
You going to ASU?
I think I'm
going to
go ASU.
I'm going Stanford.
I'm going to go Stanford as well.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, it's last and least, Florida State and Duke.
Duke. Yeah, Duke. Can you believe that? Duke, man. They're just getting W's,
yeah,
baby.
They are.
The fact that Duke is in the ACC championship game.
Unbelievable,
should
right?
Should be an indictment on the quality of the ACC in general. Oh, yeah. That is a garbage conference.
Right, it is.
Duke is
it
winning.
Is. Their, yeah, Duke, their I believe division. They got a win over North Carolina this past weekend.
No, they look good. They look good. Two-point win.
I'm Florida State.
Florida State.
Yeah.
Yeah, Florida State. I think you'll be seeing them in the BCS championship game.
All across the board. Yeah. All right, that's it.
All right, well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharp, Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in. Again, we'll have Zach Bennett on the show tomorrow to talk about the Spartans making it to the Elite Eight, MSU men's soccer team. Wow. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FMHD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic start to your week, and be easy, people.